thank you. And they made us whittle that bio down to 75 words. Took me forever to do that. That's okay. When it got down to 75 words, there wasn't much to it anyway. So I should start off by saying I hate PowerPoints. Anyway, I'm glad it's a small group because we can really just talk about some of the issues. As I said, you know, I'm going to cover the Southeastern Regional Health Equity Council. We call ourselves a SHEC, and our mission and accomplishments, and the ACA as a priority area. Overview of the health equity report card that we did, and findings on access to care, implications for best practices, the SHEC outreach activities in Georgia, Mississippi, North Carolina, and Tennessee, impacts and lessons learned, and what's next for the SHEC, and gaps to be addressed in outreach efforts, additional ACA activities planned. So the Southeastern Health Equity Council, and I know some of you have never heard of the RHEX, and I'm glad to be able to talk about that for a little bit, is one of the 10 regional health equity councils in the United States, formed in 2011. And we really got started much before then. We had across the nation a lot, every state had these regional health equity or health disparity conversations. And out of that was born the RHEX, or the NAPA, the National Partnership for Action to End Health Disparities. And so our vision is a region free of disparities in the health and healthcare, in health and healthcare, where all people attain the highest level of health. And our mission is to coordinate efforts in the Southeastern region to achieve health equity through policy changes, effective programs, and greater awareness. And our priority areas are healthcare access, healthy food access, culture competency. And under the Culture Competency Committee, or under Culture Competency, we've added an additional area of focus, which is oral health disparities. And so this is how our region is represented. And as you can see, our smallest area is the private sector. But I served as co-chair of the governor's committee, and we really tried to make an effort to have at least 5 representatives from each of the 8 states in our region. And we just really, really make an effort to do that. So currently we have 40 active members, and we created another category called expert stakeholders. And I believe we're the only region that has done that, because we had so many people that want to help in this effort that we had to figure out a way to utilize the talent that was in the region and the talent really in other states that wanted to assist us. And so we added to our charter this category of expert stakeholders, and they are very effective, just like the recent town hall meeting that we had on oral health, an interdisciplinary town hall meeting on oral health disparities. We really utilized our expert stakeholders, who were dentists and policy people and our partners, to help us with that presentation, and it was just very effective. So on the April 17th launching of the SHEC's Health Equity Report Card, I believe that we're the only RHEC that has done a report card where we took a look at the data and in terms of what was going on in the region. And we found, of course, significance that the Southeastern region experiences higher rates of illness and death from many diseases compared to the rest of the United States. The report card was developed to identify where health disparities exist for key indicators related to healthcare access, healthy food access, and cultural competency, determine opportunities and areas for immediate target and potential policy action. The report card findings on healthcare access was that African Americans, this is not news to anybody, and I feel like I'm preaching to the choir, so I'm just rushing through this to really get to the meat of why I'm up here. African Americans and Hispanics are less likely to have health insurance compared to other racial ethnic groups in the Southeast and the U.S. Health insurance provides access to clinical care, including preventive services. Those who do not have health insurance are more likely to have poor health conditions and high medical costs. And in the last session that I was in, it was very interesting. They Really, I love the key to it. It just talked about how the fact that we're the diabetes belt, we're the cardiovascular disease belt, we're the overweight belt, and now we're the lack of Medicaid belt. So because the only state in our region that has a Medicare expansion program is Kentucky. The report card had implications for best practices on healthcare access. In Kentucky, over 185,000 adults who were previously uninsured would now qualify for Medicaid under the Medicaid expansion. You can tell I'm from California and I want to say Medicare. Enrolling previously uninsured individuals in new health insurance plans available through health insurance exchanges will provide more individuals with the opportunity to receive quality health care. And expanding Medicaid and coverage through affordable private health insurance plans in southeastern states will contribute to lower mortality rates due to life-threatening conditions and lower overall health care costs through prevention and proper management of chronic conditions. Strategies employed for the ACA outreach. So what we took a look at was how do we really utilize our community partners to get this work done. And so one of the things that we did was partner with scheduled events. We selected partners who are known stakeholders invested in communities. I have to smile because this part is just absolutely funny to me. You know, I believe in, you know how they say calling in the chips? I go, you owe me. You owe me big time. And I got to call in some markers. And so that's how I tend to approach people because I do a lot of work and I feel like I know a lot of folks out there who've got something that can help us with this. So that's how I always look at it. You know, these are our stakeholders and they know the needs. So I don't have to arm twist too much, but a little bit. Populations targeted, of course, Black, African American, Native American, American Indian, Asian, and Pacific Islanders. Identification of partners. So, go about looking at, you know, who has a vested interest in this and what is the work that we need to get done. And we knew we needed to go out and figure out a way to really create something spectacular, something exciting, something that would be interest, because we have heard all of the reasons why we as a people don't trust government, we don't trust federal programs. We just don't trust anybody that's coming with us with something that may be free. So we identified partners who we thought could help us, such as, of course, the Health Equity Council. And the reason why I named this the SHEC is because if we did this through the SHEC, then we were able to apply for assistance with through our OMH office, the Office of Minority Health and Health and Human Services, with our contractors who's going to come up later and talk about the assistance that they provided us with the evaluation tools, the training of people that was going to go out and collect the data, the people who helped us design materials, flyers, jacket inserts, you name it. We was able to get this technical assistance because we did it as a partnership with the SHEC. We used the DentalQuest Foundation to help us because we tend to forget that oral health is a part of the Affordable Care Act and outreach opportunities. So we wanted DentalQuest to help us because we created this incredible, really what we call a marketplace, where we had companies to come in and do a lot of different things that related to enrollment into the Affordable Care Act, such as the DentalQuest Foundation, where we had dentists to come in and do outreach education and even some dental screenings. And then my company, Critical Learning Systems, did a lot of the coordination of the event, and then we partnered with the Tennessee Primary Care Association because they were already contracted to have 10 navigators, and so we didn't have to use resources to go out and hire people to be navigators. So they did that portion for us in shifts, and it was just fantastic the way we worked together. They even assisted us with the training and how to enter the data into systems on the spot, so we didn't have to take pieces of paper back with us and then try to key in the data, but we was able to do that in one of the hotel parlors, like I said, just right on the spot. And then we have Healthy Kids and Teens Incorporated, who was doing all of this fantastic exercise programs throughout the 4 days that we was doing this enrollment. And we had this captured audience of nearly 2,000 women that was coming from states all over the place, who was able to go back to their communities with information, and also we was able to enroll people and what have you. And then we had Dr. Eleanor Fleming, who now is one of our expert stakeholders, came in, who helped us with the dental screenings, and she started the community outreach project called the Minerva Oral Health Project. And then, of course, we always partner with Meharry School of Dentistry or the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation Center for Health Policy at Meharry to help us with a variety of community events. And then we got all kinds of samples and giveaways from our Patterson Dental Company and P&G Professional Oral Care. And like I said, and then we created with the technical assistance this really nice bookmark for the one of the organizations that had the women to come there to participate in this oral health, the oral health portion, as well as the overall in marketplace. And so we used the students at Lipscomb University to help stuff these bookmarks and through their service learning professors and what have you. So again, you know, it was just an overall partnership with just every aspect of what we may have needed to create this incredible marketplace over this 4 day period of time. And then there was some follow up later on, like 5 minutes. Okay. So we partnered with the Mississippi Health Advocacy Program and Congressman Vinnie Thompson for an ACA health insurance enrollment tour in February. That was in Jackson, Mississippi. And then we partnered with STAN Incorporated and All Medical Resources to host an ACA event and health fair on March the 6th. And that one had 35 participants, and they had two partners there, and 9 out of 34 recipients participated and completed the evaluation. And 71% of the respondents reported knowledge and gain in the area of tax credits and other programs that make insurance more affordable. And then we had another event where we partnered with Legal Aid and the North Carolina Enroll America for the 2004 American Indian Unity Conference, March the 13th through the 15th in Raleigh, North Carolina. And then we partnered, the fourth event was when we partnered with the Pan-Asian Community Centers to host an ACE event on March the 20th in Atlanta, and there was 45 participants, and you can see the rest of the data there. And then I've already talked about the Tennessee Primary Care Association and Critical Learning Systems at the annual Christian Women's Conference retreat in April, and we was able to get this in April because, you know, we had an extension of the first enrollment period, and so that was very effective to be able to do that there. So out of that group, 275 out of the 1561 recipients completed the evaluation. So some of the challenges were that when you have people coming from multiple states, you have to really be on your P's and Q's because there was different ACA rules or guidelines, and sometimes we was always calling back and forth to headquarters to find out, okay, what does this mean and what does this mean for that person, or we had to send them back to their state to get additional information. And then there were some issues with, you know, some of these women came with their hats, and they go, I did not come to this conference to be talking about ACA. This has nothing to do with Christianity. Oh, Lord, that was a whole nother challenge right there. And so again, that's what that means, the issue that was not solely dedicated to ACA, whereas if people knew that they was coming for an ACA event, they had a different attitude about it. And then we had 84 people to sign up for the dental screening on one day, and 4 of them showed up. It's just mind-boggling when you're bringing people in to do the dental screenings and they're sitting there, and then it picked up after that. So that was some of the lessons. Or some of the issues or barriers. So The promising practices highlighted through these efforts was collaborating with CBOs, replicating efforts in other states across the region, and now we know how to do it better. And the same group of women have moved to other states and are like, are we going to do this again? We know how to do it right this time, you know. So that's very encouraging. And framing health insurance awareness enrollment as a family affair rather than just an individual responsibility, and having a regional network such as the RHEC help expand the impact of activities. I think my time is up, but lastly, what's next for SHEC? Activities that SHEC is pursuing for the next open enrollment period, collaborative efforts for the next ACA enrollment between RHEC. So like I said, the group that we did in Nashville, the 1,561 people, they're like 3,000 strong now with different agencies, and they say, we've got community centers, we've got other churches, we've got stuff lined up. When are we going to get started? And I don't know why I was telling Oscar, I kept thinking November 1 is when we started open enrollment. I told her, oh, we're going to start November 1. It's November 15th. So anyway, so they're ready to get going. And so activities planners suggested to follow up with the communities that participate in outreach activities, educating on utilizing the health insurance they now have. A lot of people just don't know what to do. Do I have to enroll again? What does this mean that you are sending me an email how to reset my password? You know, why? I'm already enrolled. So just things like that. And how do I go to another doctor if that one won't take the Blue Cross Blue Shield of Tennessee that I signed up for last year? You know, what? So partnering with local navigators for the RHEC ACA events, that was extremely helpful. And so we're on the RHEC webpage, and you can find all of our bios and anything else you want to know about the health council.